After wishing everyone Shavuot Tov and Gemara Tov, so we're on the bottom of Daf Lamed Hayom and Aleph, about 10 lines up from the bottom, and you look for a word Gufa. I'll tell you how to find it in just a second.
Gufa Maravi Asi.
Yeah, Maravi Asi, that's it. Now, let me give a little bit of an introduction here, so we know more or less what we're talking about. There are two requirements, at least according to Rav Asi. We'll mention Rav Chiya in a minute, but Rav Asi is of the opinion there are two requirements in an Esrog. And they're both derived from the Pasuk Lachem, or Lekachem Lachem. One of them is called the Heter Achila. Okay, we'll write that down. Heter Achila. Which means that you're able to eat it, the Halach allows you to eat it. And that's requirement number one. Then this is all Rav Asi. Because we'll see that according to Rav Chiya, he only has the first requirement. According to Rav Chiya. But according to Rav Asi, he has a second requirement as well. And that's Yeshlo Din Mamo. Okay, so now both these requirements are derived from the word Lachem. The Torah says, Lekachem Lachem. Now, we're going to soon see that in other parashas of the Torah, the Torah also requires lachem. It's not just a unique halacha in Esrog. For example, in challah, the Torah also says it's got to be yours. The dough itself, which is called an isa. Correct. Reshit ariso techem. And the word chem here at the end, that extra adage, means that it's got to be lachem. You have to own it. So, for example, if I'm just being mafrish, your challah, and you didn't appoint me as your shliach, then I'm not chayv in the mitzvah challah for your dough, right? So it's got to be papa's dough, you know what I mean? So that's in the case of challah. So we have the mitzvah of esrog, which has lachem, and we have the mitzvah of challah that has lachem. Fine. Comes on Rav Asi, and he says the following. What's the status of Maaser Sheni B'Yerushalayim? Okay? Now, on the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, you have to be mafresh in addition to Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. Maaser Sheni has to be brought to Yerushalayim, and you can eat it in Yerushalayim. So here's the trick. Does it have a Heter Achila or does it not? And like every question I ask you, the answer is always, it depends. Right? So it depends. If you're outside Yerushalayim, it doesn't have a Heter Achila. That's a separate law in the Torah. You're one of the 613. If you violate that law, you get malchus for that. So if you eat Maaser Sheni outside Yerushalayim, you get malchus. But on the other hand, in Yerushalayim, you eat the Maaser Sheni. That's what you do with Maaser Sheni. So Maaser Sheni bi Yerushalayim is yeshlo heter achil. Comes along Rav Asi, and he says, even though it's Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, which not only are you allowed to eat, you're obligated to eat, but nevertheless, does it have a din mamon? And the answer is no. Here we're going to have to press the X button. This second condition, which Rav Asi postulates, again, Rav Chiya doesn't accept the second condition, but he says the Lachem teaches me that not only do you have to have a heter achila and you'd be allowed to eat it, but in addition, you have to have a din mamon. A din mamon means some sort of ownership. Again, the word din here is a little bit ambiguous. We have to figure out what the word din is. It should have said yeshlo bailus or yeshlo lachem. I don't know, what's din mamon? Very strange kind of phrase. Now, here's where Rav Asi introduces the shita of Rabbi Meir. Okay? Now, the Chachamim will disagree with Rabbi Meir, but it's very possible in this case that we accept the shita of Rabbi Meir. That's a big to do, and that'll discuss at 11:45 if anybody's around for the Ian Shia. But Rabbi Meir's shita is that Maaser Sheni, who can finish me up, is Mamon Gavoa. Okay, I don't know if you can see the small letters here. So this is the shita of Rabbi Meir, which means that even though you have a heter achila, and even though you're allowed to eat Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, you're obligated to eat Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, it's not yours. It's kind of like a kohen who's eating from karbanos, in the case of a karmachatos, of a karmakoven, Korban Asham. That means that the Kohen is eating something that belongs to the Mizbeach. It doesn't really belong to him. So sometimes the object belongs to a higher order, to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and you're allowed to eat it. You may even be obligated to eat it, but it's not yours. You don't have personal ownership. You're just fulfilling your mitzvah, but the ownership here belongs to Gavah. Gavah means to Shamayim. And that's Rabbi Meir's opinion about Ma'aser Sheni. The Torah is saying that Ma'aser Sheni has an inherent sanctity to it. It's a Kedusha. Again, it's not the same as Kedusha as Mizbeach, but nevertheless it is a Kedusha. And that Kedusha means that it belongs to Hekdesh. It belongs to Gavah. The Torah commands you, like in the case of a Kohen who's eating from Kachim, to eat the Ma'aser Sheni, in Yerushalayim, of course. But you're eating from the Shulchan Gavah. It's, if I can use a marshal, it's like the Almighty is inviting you to eat from His table, His with a capital H. But it's not yours. Now, if I invite you to my Seder, or better yet, Jerry, you'll invite me to your Seder, right? Let's put it this way. And you put matzah in front of me, so that matzah belongs to you. L'chora, right? Unless you made a kinyan there of Shabbos on every Yom Tov, maybe you made a kinyan. You said, "Oh, I'm taking this matzah for Rabbi Berzal, and he's going to eat the." But if you didn't make that kinyan, then basically that matzah belongs to you, and I'm eating off your table. So Rabbi Meir says that in Ma'aser Sheni, I'm eating off the table of God, so to speak. It's His, you know, He's inviting me to eat the Ma'aser Sheni, but it belongs to the Gavah. Chachamim never accepted this opinion. So first afkamina is a sugya mesecta kedusha, not here in Sukkah. And if I give a woman ma'aser sheni in Yerushalayim, according to Rav Meir, and I say to her the magic words, hareyat mekudeshes li, but ma'aser sheni zeh, be Yerushalayim, ain't a mekudeshes. She's not married because the kedushin requires ownership. And you don't have ownership, according to Rabbi Meir, on Ma'aser Sheni in Yerushalayim, because it's Mamon Gavah, belongs to Gavah. And the same thing, says Rav Asi, is going to apply to Esrog, because just like in Kedushin, I have to give this woman my personal ownership over an object that's worth a pruta, and ownership is a precondition for Kedushin. So too, with regard to Esrog, the Torah says, L'kachem lochem, right? And lochem is going to teach me personal ownership. That's Rav Asi's unique shita, that in order to be an eser that's kosher, it has to yesh lo did mamon. In the case of Ma'aser Sheni, according to Rabbi Meir, ein lo did mamon. Now let's just see the repercussions as far as challah is concerned. Let's say I take the grains of Ma'aser Sheni, I grind them down, make a flour out of it, I pour water into the mixture, and now I bake a bread. So this bread is Ma'aser Sheni bread, and I bring it to Yerushalayim and I have to eat it in Yerushalayim. What about challah? Am I chayv in challah? Well, there's a problem here, because challah says Rashis Ariso Seichem, which means the same requirement that we saw in Esrog because of Lachem, Yeshlo Din Mamon, applies to challah. And just like Rav Asi said that according to Rav Meir, you don't have personal ownership on the Esrog because it's Ma'aser Sheni, so too on this piece of bread, you don't have personal ownership if it's Ma'aser Sheni. It's Mamon Gavah. And the Torah says you're only chayv in chal if you have personal ownership over it. So therefore, in the absence of a Riso Seichem, you're potter from chal. But now the story of the plot grows thicker. What's Rav Meir going to say according to Rav Asi in the case of matzah? Jerry invited me on Leil HaSeder to eat at his Seder. He did not make a kinyan on the matzah for me to acquire ownership, so I'm eating his matzah, and the Torah says that it's got to be your matzah.
Does it?
That's a good question. So that's the sugi that we're going to learn now. So this was all just an introduction to the Gemara, and I'll take a break now for questions. It'll also give me a chance to make a shahakol. Comments, criticisms, questions?
Well,
am I going too fast, too slow?
Obviously, we don't hold it. We don't hold on that, obviously.
Well, do we pass on the mayor? For that, you have to come back at 11:45. That's very complicated. The Rambam seems in Hilchas Bikurim to pass on like Rav Meir. And that's going to create literature that could probably fill this room. I mean, just to figure out, you know, how the Rambam on the one hand could say that an Esrog Shel Ma'aser Sheni B'Yerushalayim is kosher, and at the same time passing like Rav Meir, when the Gemara says explicitly that if you hold like Rav Meir, then Mamon Gavah excludes it from Lochem. So how could the Rambam on the one hand, that's more for an Ian shit, you know, our purpose is to plow through the Gemara at this point. So let's without further ado go through the Gemara, and we're looking at the word gufa, which is approximately, I didn't count it, 10 lines up from the bottom of the page. The first words in the line are yidei chavaso, but actually there are two lines that start yidei chavaso. So we talk about the second one that starts yidei chavaso. If you could show me by hands, if you have the place gufa. Everybody has gufa. Okay, gufa. And what does the word gufa always mean? Yeah, let's go back and analyze a statement that we've previously quoted. And here's the quote that we already studied. Omar Avasi, Esrog Shal Maisa Shedi. Now you have to add the word Birushalayim, because otherwise it's Ein Bo Heter Achila, and then for sure it's not kosher according to everyone. But in Yerushalayim it has a Heter Achila. However, you have another condition, says Rav Ashi. You have to have a Din Mama. Is the Dibri Rabbi Neir Ein Adam Yotzei Bo Yedei Chavasa Biyantiv. You cannot fulfill Lachem, because what's the status of Maaseh Sheni according to Rav Meir? Everybody Mamon Gavoa. But Ladirei Chachamim, they hold that it's Mamon Hejot, which means you have private ownership over Maaseh Sheni. And the proof of the pudding is that what do you do with Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim? You eat it. It must be yours if you're eating it. It's Adam Yotzei Bo Yedei Chavasa Biyantiv. You could use this Esrog not to eat it. Again, if you eat it, that's going to be a problem, because then you won't have it in order to shake it. Right? So, you know, there used to be a song called Shake It a Baby, Twist and Shout. Do you remember that? Like, this before your time. I'm dating myself. But anyway, right. So Shake It a Baby, you got to shake the Esrog. But if you eat it, you're not going to be able to shake. But here we're not talking about eating the Esrog, but rather using it because you have a Din Mamon and you own the Esrog. Matzah shel ma'aseh sheni l'divrei Rabbi Meir ein adam yotzei yedei chavasa v'pesach. Rabosai, what is the premise here that underlies the statement that according to Rabbi Meir I cannot fulfill my mitzvah with matzah if it's ma'aseh sheni matzah in Yerushalayim? That there's a requirement of lachem and matzah. Does it say anywhere lachem and matzah? Oh, excellent. That's in challah, and we're going to see if there's an equation between challah and matzah. So, l'divrei chachamim, adam yotzei bo yedei chavaso b'pesach. So, if you invite me to your Seder, and you were not mocking me the matzah, so I don't know the matzah, that's not a problem according to chachamim, because even if I grant you that you require ownership on matzah, but in the case of ma'aseh sheni according to chachamim, you have ownership because ma'aseh sheni according to chachamim is mamon hejod. But according to Rabbi Meir, who says that ma'aseh sheni is mamon gavoa, and you don't have personal ownership over the ma'aseh sheni, you're eating at the table of the gavoa, then you cannot be yotze the matzah. And if Jerry invites me for a leil haseder, I'm hinting here. I don't know if you're getting the hint here. Yeah, no, it's okay. We're actually hosting a lot of people this Seder. We plan this all about a year in advance. Because, yeah, because I have to be a scholar in residence, so it's complicated. Anyway, so it comes out like this, that according to Rabbi Meir, since the Torah requires ownership in matzah, and my sasheni is what? Is mamon gavoa? It means I don't have personal ownership. I can't be yotze. So if you invite me to your Seder, you better make a kinyan. This is going to be the new brisket chumrah for the week. That every Erev Pesach, if you have guests at your table, Erev Pesach, why do I say Erev Pesach? Make the Kinyan.
Can't do Kinyan on Yom Tov.
Right, excellent. There's no Kinyan on Yom Tov. So you're going to have to make the Kinyan on Erev Yom Tov. I had a person, by the way, Jeff, he usually comes to the Shia. I don't know where he is now. So Jeff brought me a bottle of wine because he was coming for Friday night dinner. And he brought it over before Shabbos. Why? I wasn't drinking the wine before Shabbos. He wanted me to make a Kinyan before Shabbos, so that if he gives it to me as a gift on Shabbos, it won't be giving a gift. There's no acquisition. So imagine Erev Pesach, you have X number of people coming to join you for the Seder. You got to run around picking up your matzahs and saying, I'm being Zocha on the matzah on behalf of so-and-so and so-and-so. Unless, maybe we can circumvent the need for Maisa Kinyan if we apply the principle of Umdana. Does anybody know what the principle of Umdana is? In fancy English, it's called circumstantial evidence. So Umdana means that when I see certain things, I can tell what's in a person's heart, even though he never expressed it. Like the Gemara has in Kiddushin, a case where a person all of a sudden sells, he makes a garage sale in his bag, and he sells all his possessions. You know, he takes out his fridge and his couch. Everything is out there being sold. Because he wants to make Aliyah. Yeah, that's the Gemara. This is the Mamashe Gemara. And the Gemara says at the end his plans fell through. And we have an Uvdana that he never wanted to sell his very, you know, the shirt off his back unless he would make Aliyah. And since his plans fell through, that's called Toz, he made a mistake and the whole sale is completely invalid. So in the case where I invite you for Leil HaSeder and I put a matzah in front of you, the Uvdana tells me that I want you to own the matzah. Why? Because I want you to fulfill your mitzvah of matzah. And if the requirement and the precondition of matzah is ownership, then obviously I'm interested in your acquiring ownership. Question is, can I do that on Yantin? That's already problematic. So maybe the Umdun already activates itself Erev Yantin, so that you already acquired it. That means I can make a kinyan on your behalf if it's for your benefit, even if you're not aware of that kinyan. It becomes very complicated.
Is the matzah somehow connected to the Korban Pesach, where there's a chabura and they koneh? I mean,
I never heard of a chabura on matzah. That'd be an interesting concept. I'm in favor of it. Let's start our own new club.
No, but I'm saying that
a matzah chabura club.
When you have a Korban Pesach, the issue of ownership is already pre Leil HaSeder.
Right.
I know there's not a connection with matzah, but
Yeah. In many ways, matzah is connected to Pesach, but not with regard to chabur. You don't have to be mono on the matzah, otherwise, you know, that would be an interesting halacha. I think you'd be the president of this new corporation. Okay. Isa shel maaser sheni, we're on the first of the wide lines. So you have a dough, and it's maaser sheni, l'divrei Rabbi Meir, p'turim min hachalah. You're exempt from the mitzvah of challah. But l'divrei chachamim chayeves b'challah. That's Rav Asi. Maskif lo Rav Papa. Rav Papa attacks Rav Asi, and he says, Bishlam, I can understand what you're saying about Isa, meaning about the mitzvah of challah. Ksiv, the Torah says, Reishis Ariso Seichem. The Torah says, what is Ariso Seichem in Rabosai? Shelochem, it's got to be yours. Esrog, Nami, I understand what you're telling me about Esrog, that in Maaser Sheni, according to Rav Meir, it's Mom Gavo, you have a problem. Ksiv Lochem, and Lochem is Shelochem, you have to own a Yeshbo Din Mamon. Ela Matzah, this was Michael's question from before. This is a rhetorical question. Miksiv Matzaschem? Is there any pasuk that says it's got to be your matzah? Omar Rabba Bar Shmuel, the Item Rav Yemar Bar Shlema. These are all Aramaic formulations of different Hebrew names. Anyway, Asya, we have a Gzeres Shava, Lechem, Lechem. Ksiv Hocha, here in the parish of Matzah, it says Lechem Oni. Ksiv Hosam, now we turn to Daf Lamed Heyam and Beis. In the parasha of Chal, it says, V'hoya b'cholchem mi lechem har. It's the same word, lechem appears. Is malahal, and just like over there. In the case of Chal, it says, harisal sechem, which means mishelachem. V'lo mishel maser. Is afkan mishelachem, v'lo mishel maser. Now again, what does it mean, v'lo mishel maser? We're talking according to which shita? Who would say that it's not lochem if it's maaser sheni? Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir holds maaser sheni is mamon gavoa. So this entire gzeres shava, which is being presented here by Rav Papa, would reflect the sheet of Rabbi Meir, and only Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir is excluding maaser because the Torah requires arisal sechem, and for that matter, based on this gzeres shava, the Torah is excluding maaser from matzah, because it's as if the Torah had says matzaschem. Again, there is no pasuk matzaschem, but we could sort of rewrite the text here as if it said matzaschem by virtue of this gzeres shava. And I would submit to you that the chachamim could also accept this gzeres shava, but they hold that maaser is yours, because their sheet is that moment gavoa doesn't apply to maaser sheni. Now, by the way, do you have the word maaser sheni in your text, or just the word maaser? Interesting. I also only have the word maaser, but I have a footnote here on the bottom. It's something that you probably don't have in your Gemara, but I have something called Hagos Vitzionim. And he's into a book called Dikduke Sofrim. Have you ever heard of Dikduke Sofrim? All the scholars that teach Talmud, you know, in the university and so forth and so on, they're all heavy into this massive, I think it's 25 volumes, work called Dikduke Sofrim. Now, the Duke Sofer was written quite a while ago by someone who decided to take it upon himself to go through all different old manuscripts of the Talmud. And he went to this library, that library, and based on various texts, he wrote a book called the Duke Sofer. And in the Duke Sofer, he points out that very often there's a discrepancy between our printed Gemara, this is called the Vilna Shas, which was printed approximately 150 years ago, and the original manuscript. And he says that in the original manuscript, after the word Maser, it says Sheni.
When you say manuscript, you mean...
I meant manuscript, that's what I meant to say.
With an S, yeah.
Manuscript, well, again, I don't know how many manuscripts have the word Sheni in it, I can't tell you. But there's at least one ancient manuscript that has the word Sheni in it. And that's what the Duke Sofrim wants to insist, that the proper text of this Gemara is Maser Sheni. Now, in a very rare move, he explains why he insists that the correct text is Maser Sheni. Because we have another kind of Maser. What's that called? You guessed it, Maser Rishon. If there's Maser Sheni, there's got to be Maser Rishon. Now, Maser Rishon is given to whom? To Levi. So he says that you have to add the word Maser Sheni here, because otherwise, if you leave out the word Sheni, you mistakenly, because all of the Shas, when it doesn't say the word Sheni, the word Maser refers to Maser Rishon, you would be interpreting this Gemara mistakenly to refer to Maser Rishon. Now watch what goes on with Maser Rishon. There are two stages in Maser Rishon. The first stage is what we call before Hafrasha, before you actually designate 1/10 for the Levi. So here, all your wheat is growing in the field, or any of the five grains. You cut it down, and before you designate a certain, it's up to you to decide where the 10% will come from, the left, the north, the east, the west. Before you did so, what's the status of that wheat? Well, I just have to write on the board, because you have to know this. This is called Tevel. Okay? Tevel is anything that's chayv in Afrosha. So there's Tevel of Truma before you mafresh Truma. There's Tevel for Maser before you mafresh Maser. There's Tevel for Maser Sheni before you mafresh Maser Sheni. And it goes on and on and on. Tevel is a very severe Iser Achil. If you eat Tevel, you chayv Misa Midei Shavayim. Very severe, harsh Iser. That's before Afrosha. After Afrosha, so you deliver it to the Levi, but in between Afrosha and delivering it to the Levi, there's that middle stage in which you haven't yet delivered it to the Levi. Now, what's the status of the Maser after you've designated it, so it's post Afrosha, but before you delivered it to the Levi?
It's not Lachem.
Oh, it belongs to the Levi. To which Levi? This we don't know. But it belongs to what's called Shevet Levi, the whole group of Levi. So now the question becomes, would you be able to take an Esrog that was designated as Maser Rishon, but hasn't yet been delivered to the Levi? Once it's delivered to Levi, we'll call him Mr. Levi, well, give him a first name, let's call him John Levi. Okay, so once I give it to John Levi, so that he can use it for the mitzvah of Esrog. But now, before I gave it to John Levi, there's sort of a general kind of a partnership, corporate ownership, which is called Shevet Levir. So what's the deal with corporate ownership? Or partnership for that matter? Is that called Lachem? You know, we say Yeshlo Vimom.
It's not, you and no man's land.
No, it's not.
Not yours.
It's not a partnership between you and the Levi. It's a partnership between the Levir. So it's for sure not Lachem.
Right, but here's the deal. We said, if you recall, I'm just refreshing your memory, that in the case of an Esrog Shel Truma, you could be Yotze. In other words, here's the deal. I was Mafresh Truma. I haven't yet delivered it to any particular Kohen. And I could be, again, L'chatchila, I'm not allowed to do so for various reasons, because I might be misusing Truma. You know, if I rub it up, or if I'm a Tami, whatever that might be. That's a suya you will get to in Mitzvah tomorrow. But if I went ahead and I used the Esrog, I'm Yotz in the midst of Esrog, where's the Lachem? I'm a Yisrael, I'm not a Kohen. But the answer is, the fact that I can give it over to the Kohen, that's considered Yesh Lo Din Mama. So Yesh Lo Din Mama, you remember I asked you before, why does he use this very ambiguous terminology, din mamon, some sort of mamon law? Why didn't you say ownership, period, baalus? That's a very common word in the Shas. But the answer is, you don't have to actually own the esrog in order to be able to the mitzvah. Somebody has to own it. Now, if the Kohen owns it, you can't eat it for two reasons. First of all, because of the Issur Truma Lazar, which is a very severe issue. And secondly, because you'd be stealing from the Kohen. But I'm not stealing it now. I'm not eating it. I'm not consuming it. I'm just using it for the mitzvah. And let's assume that the Kohen would agree to allow me to use it for the mitzvah. So what's the problem? Ah, you don't own it. But there is a din mamon. The din mamon is designated for the Kohen. So therefore, I would suggest that the Dikduke Sofrim here is being very careful. And he's saying that you have to add the word sheni to the text of the Gemara. Because if you read it as maser in a general sense, it would include maser rishon. And we've just established that an esrog of maser, according to Rabbi Meir, old Mamon Gavoah, cannot be used for the mitzvah of lochem. It's not yours. And why is that? Because it's Mamon Gavoah. Says the Dikduke Sofrim, in the case of maser rishon, that's not Mamon Gavoah. That's private ownership. It might be a partnership. It might be a corporate ownership. I haven't yet delivered it to a particular levy, but there is ownership over maser rishon. There's no ownership, according to Rabbi Meir, over maser sheni, but you see the contrast. Maser sheni, according to Rabbi Meir, is mamon gavah. Therefore, you don't have any concept of a din mamon at all. No one in the world can claim ownership. But in the case of truma or maser, maser rishon, there, we're not going to apply the principle of mamon gavah. In fact, maser rishon is chulin. It has no sanctity whatsoever. But it's owned by the levi. Now, if I can solve the problem of gzela, which means I can't steal from the levi, but let's assume that all the levium, this is the umder concept that I mentioned earlier, where circumstantial evidence, we can assume that all the levium would agree that before you deliver this esrog to the levium, you're allowed to use it for your own purposes of lekachtem lochem and fulfill the mitzvah. It's like, for example, you see this pair of tefillin here? So let's say, Michael, you came into shul this morning, you didn't have your tefillin. That would never happen. But theoretically, would you be allowed to use these tefillin? No, this is Berzon's tefillin. These are my tefillin. These are Heiliger tefillin. Holy tefillin. I don't want to tell you how many generations. Anyway, these are good tefillin. I haven't checked out.
I heard that if it's your talus, yes, we should fill in no.
But let's say talus, okay? So I don't know what you heard and what you, just that, because again, I don't want to get off on a tangent, because as far as I know, it applies to tefillin as well. But let's say talus. Can you use my talus?
Can't make a
brachah. Yes. Because one presumes that the person who owns the talus gives implicit.
Did anybody know where that sugya is in Shas? Interesting, that's a sugya in Psochim, which is one of the choices I have for post Sukkot, is to learn Masechta Psochim. Quite a few people are interested in Psochim, I was surprised. But anyway, so in Masechta Psochim we have a sugya called Ovin Inish Laseis Mitzvah L'Mamon, L'Kayim Mitzvah L'Mamon, that a person is Nichole, he's very happy if people fulfill a mitzvah with his mom. That sets up an umdana. So for example, if all of Shevet Levi, Shevet Leviya owns the Maser Rishon, but it hasn't been delivered to any particular Levi, we can assume that Nichalei Le'inish Le'me'evet Mitzvah Mamona. So if I'm the Israel, I haven't delivered the Esrog to the Leviyim yet, but I want to use it for my mitzvah, that would be Yesh Lo Din Mamon. Even though, again, clearly I don't own this Esrog, because it's designated already, it's been after Afrasha for the Leviyim, so it belongs to the Leviyim. But the only problem is Gzela. Am I stealing from Leviyim? So let's say we can circumvent the problem of Gzela by activating the principle of Nichle Linish Lememid Mitzvah Mamone, and therefore I could be Yotze. So the Dikduke Sofer says, be careful here, don't make a mistake. Edward Shane. Because in the case of Maaseh Sheni, you have the principle of Rabbi Meir, the Maaseh Sheni has Kedusha to it, it's Hegdesh, it's Mamon Gavoah, there's no Din Mam. And therefore that precludes the Mitzvah of Lachem. But in the case of Maaseh Rishon, that's already a Din Mam. It doesn't belong to you, that doesn't matter. You don't have to have private, exclusive ownership over the esrog. All you have to make sure is that there's a din mamon, and that you're not violating zeil. Now, on Omid Aleph, we have a tosus here that I wanted to point out to you. You know, we always select tosus, and in this case, Asya lechem lechem. And he says, Tema. He has a real problem over here. He says, B'perek kol shah ein yotzin yidei matzah b'tevel. Okay, so now we're talking about one of the five grains. We're after harvesting them, ktsira. Let's say you grind up the grains and you make a flour, you bake matzah, but you haven't yet taken off truma. You haven't taken off maser. That's called tevel. And now you cannot fulfill your mitzvah of matzah. Why? Because it's tevel. Okay, so what if it's tevel? So here the Gemara presents in Masechta Pesachim a yalfusa, a derivation. What's his derivation? The Torah says, Lo tochal olav chametz shivas yomim, tochal olav matzah. There's a hekesh here between the iser chametz and the mitzvah of matzah. So it means like this. The mitzvah of matzah means that I take the dough out of the oven and I arrest the process of chimutz, right, of chimutz, fermentation, I guess, if we want to use that word. So that what I do is I have something that's about to become awesome. It's about, if I leave it in the oven another 5 seconds, another 5 minutes, it becomes chametz. And the Torah says, take it out of the oven prematurely, and it will be matzah. So matzah means something that will become awesome. That's the paradox of matzah. Do you hear this? It's unbelievable. Matzah is a mitzvah, a great mitzvah. It's one of the few mitzvahs we have after the Mikdash destroyed, and it's still a doraisa today. Matzah is a great mitzvah. And yet, what is matzah? Matzah is something that inherently lends itself to an iser. What iser am I talking about? If I just left it in a little bit longer? Chametz. Oh. Now, supposing there's another iser involved here in this matzah. In other words, not only is this matzah potentially chametz, but it's also tevel, or any other iser of your choice. Choose any iser that you like. And that's going to be excluded from matzah, because matzah has to be the flip side of chametz, the iser chametz, but of no other iser in the book. So tevel is excluded. So again, the bottom line is the Gemara Pesachim has a very sophisticated and complex derivation to prove that you're not yotzei with matzah shel tevel. Tos says, I don't get it.
Why do we need
this whole complicated derivation? The Torah, the Gemara here establishes we have a hekseir shava blechem lechem to equate challah and matzah. Just like in challah you require ownership, so too in matzah you require ownership. It's as if for all intents and purposes the Torah said matzaschem. It's got to be your matzah. So Tosa says, tevel is not yours. Why is tevel not yours? Tepukle, says Tosa, let's derive it, mishum debeinan matzah mishalachem. We require ownership over matzah. V'tevel lo chashiv lachem. Tevel is not considered yours. Because who has a right to take this from this tevel? The Kohen, the Levi, right? Truma, matzah, whatever it might be. Now wait a second. Okay, it's very nice that the Kohen has rights to this tevel, or the Levi to this tevel. But I'm also a Baal Bas, am I not? How much can I give to the Kohen? Give him 1/40th, 1/50th, you know, depending how much iron raw, you know. How much I have to give to the Levi? 10%. So what am I left with? 90% for myself. So why is Tosfos assume that tevel fits under the category of ein lo din mamon? We're lacking mamon. Just because I admit the Kohen has rights to this tevel, but his rights are somewhat limited, and that's an understatement. The case of the Levi, very limited. Why is that considered an absence of lachem? Again, the whole kasha of Tosfos, why does Gemara need this whole drasha that the matzah is potentially going to be also in Torah's chametz, but if there's another Easter involved and it's not considered matzah, Tosfos says, why tape it? Let's derive from a different source. It's not your matzah. Why is it your matzah? Because it's tevel. And if it's tevel, it's not yours. Why isn't it yours?
It's not yours, is it? Because you can't do anything with it. You can't eat it. In its state.
Oh, so now you can ask another question. This is what, again, my 1145 shiur is going to be about. Why does Tosis ask from Din Mamon and he insists that Tevel is not yours? Tosis should have asked a more basic question. Tevel is not Yeshlo Heter Achila. That should have been Tosis' question. Tosis is not bothered about Yeshlo Heter Achila. He's only bothered by Elo Din Mamon. We don't even understand why there's no Din Mamon. Oh, just because the Kohen has rights to some percentage, or the Levi, but what about 90% of it, which is mine? That's not enough for a Din Mamon. Interesting assumption. But why does Tosis need that whole story for? Why didn't just Tosis say that Matzah of Tevel would be like Matzah of any Iser, which is Elo Heter Mamon? The whole premise of Agamara here, this sugya, Lamed Hevet Aleph, is that when you need Lachem, it's got to be a Heter Achila. Lachem means that you can enjoy it, you can eat it. But in the case of Tevel, clearly if you eat it, you violate an Iser Misa, a very severe Iser. That's not Yeshlo Heter Achila. So that's a kash on this Tosis. Polineta will talk about that in a different context. But let's get back to Tosis's kash. Tosis says, you're lacking in the condition of Yeshlo Din Mamon. There's no matzastem here. But why? Because it's Tevel. So what if it's Tevel? So Tosis says, Kidemuchach Hocha Gabi Esrog. Okay, this Esrog that he's referring to is called Dmai. Okay, if you remember, there was a machlokas Shib Beisil Beit Shammai about an Esrog called Dmai. The Adkan lo pligi beisil beicham beisil ela b'dmai mishum diiboy mafkir leilin achase vavi ori v'chase lavo b'tevel vadei kulo modu. Okay. So in the case of dmai, beisil say you could be yotze with an esrog shel dmai because you have the potential of owning the dmai. Okay, we'll see, we'll work out those details a little bit later. That's step by step, if you know what I mean. But Tosis says those possibilities don't apply to Tevel. In the case of Tevel, you really don't have any possibility of acquiring ownership on it through making yourself into a poor person. In Tmai, you have a, so basically, Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai are on the same team. Fundamentally, they agree to one principle, and that is that Tevel, before you are Mafrish Maaser, is not Lachem. And if it's not Lachem, then in the case of matzah, you clearly can't be yotze with matzah shel tevel. It's not lechem. So why does the Gemara need this whole sophisticated, you know, acrobatics in the air to derive the conclusion that you can't be yotze with matzah shel tevel? Just simply say bo din lechem matzasta. We have the gzeir shava from challah lechem 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 lechem. So take a look at Tosa's answer. Yishlomar delo dami daha dienu yochel lotzeis be esrog shel tevel. Wow, this is radically different than what we said before. He's saying now that the problem of Tevel is that there's a partnership here. You're not the exclusive owner of this Tevel because some of it goes to the Levi. And in the case of an Esrog de Shutfim, Yesh Lekoin V'Levi Bochelek. Both the Kohen and the Levi have ownership in this Tevel. And yet I can't point to any particular part of the Tevel that says, this belongs to the Kohen, this belongs to the Levi, this belongs to me, to the Israel. So there's a whole admixture here, a hodgepodge. And there's a shutfis, there's a partnership. And everybody has a partnership in this Tevel. That's not called Lachem. Vidami, and I should compare it, Li Achim, to brothers, these are what's called the heirs. How do you pronounce that? H-E-I-R-S. Did I pronounce it right? Heirs. Okay. Shekhanu, and now we turn to Amid Beis, Esrog b'tfisas habayis. Now, when the father dies, there's a two-stage process. At stage number one, which is called tfisas habayis, all the brothers, as heirs, have partnership in the estate. No one has private ownership. Then later on they do what's called a chalukah, chalukas ha-yerusha, and they designate which part goes to which one of the brothers. Now in that middle stage, which is called tfusas habayis, there's a partnership, and let's say the father died and he left his dalad minim, and now one of the achim, one of the brothers, wants to use the dalad minim. And the Gemara says in Yesh Nochlin, which is a parak at the end of Bava Basra, that in such a case you can't fulfill your mitzvah of Esrog until you get it exclusively, meaning after the chalukah, but before the chalukah and it's not divided up, you don't have private ownership over it, you have a partnership. So that's where partnership undermines the din of lachem.
So two people can't buy an Esrog together.
Well, I think we'll be able to answer that question, Michael, after we finish the Tosfos. So let's hang in there. Umehai tamenami nicha di nicha. Why the isa shel tevel chayeves bechala? And he says the following: that if you have a dough and it's tevel, then it's a different kind of shutfis. Why is it a different kind of shutfis? It's not like your extreme shutfis, which is called tfusas habayis in the case of the heirs, because in the case of the heirs, the whole thing belongs to the estate. No one has private ownership. That's not the case in tevel. Tevel, everybody has ownership. Now watch what goes on over here. There's a shear of chal. A minimum shear, or for example, a matzah, a minimum shear. Now, if you have a matzah shel tevel, it's not that the entire matzah is owned by the Yisrael and the Kohen. There's a certain undefined part of the challah or of the matzah that's owned by the Kohen. If granted that you give the Kohen later on his chelik, you still have enough ownership for a shear of matzah, then Tosfos says you can be yotze. That's not considered a chisaron, an absence of lachem. Why is the case of heirs a problem of lachem? Because all the heirs, all the brothers, own the entire estate together as one indivisible entity. It's not like anyone has a part that's designated for himself.
It has been designated by the father.
No, the father just died, right? As the shtar.
But in his shtar, it says that you are.
He didn't leave any shtar. He died without a shtar. So that's called tfusas habayis. So it's not designated for anyone. And now at this point, before we do what's called a chalukah, everybody, all the achim, own equal chelik. So if everyone owns an equal chelik, there's nothing really that anyone could say is mine. None of the achim individually could say, I have this specific part. But in the case of Tevel, Tosfos insists.
Why couldn't there? He said there's five brothers, and then they say we each have one fifth, therefore one fifth of.
So that's the concept of tfusas habayis. Tfusas habayis means that it's not that you own a fifth, and your brother owns a fifth, and he owns a fifth. No. We all own the whole thing. It's an estate. It has a new status. It's a different kind of shutfis. And that's what Tosfos says, ein bo din mo. No one of the brothers can use the esrog because it doesn't have a din mamon. There's no private ownership whatsoever. Masha Enkin says in contrast, in tevel is private ownership. Now, there's a private ownership but with a partnership. It becomes complicated. Well, does each partner have enough to fulfill the minimum requirement of matzah? Let's say, for example, there's 1.5 kizesim in this matzah that you bake. So if I would give 0.5 kizayis to the Levi, I'm still left with a full kizayis for myself. Tosfos says that's called yesh bo din mo. So therefore tevel would be kosher for matzah if there's enough left after anticipating what's going to happen down the line. After the Kohen or the Levi gets his portion of the Yisrael, still left with enough for the shear of matzah, for the shear of challah, then in such a case we don't apply the principle of ein bo din moment, but rather we consider it yesh bo din moment. This is the thesis of Tosfos. So on both sides, let's take a look now at the Gemara here, lema misayele. So let's now leave the Tosfos on the side for the time being. We're on daf lamed hey of beis, and we're looking at lema misayele. Now lema misayele is a classical phrase, or one of those mechanical phrases in the Gemara that teaches you how to take apart a sugya. The word lema means shall we say, and usually that implies that what we're about to present is going to be rejected, you know. Misayeh means to support. Le means him. In this case, Ravasi. Again, Ravasi was the one who said that whether or not a Maisa Sheni situation could be okay in matzah and in tevel, I'm sorry, in matzah and in challah and in esrog depends upon Rabbi Meir. And according to Rabbi Meir, mamon gavoah, and if it's not lochem, ein bodin lochem. Is Lema Misayele. Now Rav Asi, you have to keep in mind, is an Amora. He's actually a very early Amora. Not first generation, but first and a half, so to speak. He's somewhere between first generation Amora and second generation. Does anybody know who his Rebbe was? Rav Yochanan. Now what's the status of Rav Yochanan? Well, if I woke you up in the middle of the night, what would you say? Is he a Tado or an Amora?
Amora.
An Amora. But it's complicated. Because in the Yerushalmi, Rabbi Yochanan sometimes is considered as a Tana. So Rabbi Yochanan is really at that, I call it the twilight zone, that Ma'avar, I don't know how you say it in English, that transitional stage between Tanoim and Amoroim. So Rav Asi is his outstanding disciple.
Maybe it's a different Rabbi Yochanan.
Say it again?
Rav
Yochanan, who's quoted in the Bavli, is the Balabas in the Yerushalmi. Like, he's the most important person in Yerushalmi. He spent most of his life in Eretz Yisrael, but he came very often to Bavel. And his Talmidim were in Bavel. And one of his Talmidim, Rav Asi. So Lema Misayele. Lema Misayele means we're going to quote a Braisa of Tanoim to support Rav Asi. Rav Asi is undeniably an Amora, and that's why we apply the principle of Lema Misayele. In the case of Rav Yochanan, it's very rare to find Lema Misayele to Rav Yochanan, because Rav Yochanan is almost like a Tana. Here's the Braisa. The Braisa says the following: Isa shel Maaser Sheni Ptura min Achal Divrei Rabbi Meir. Wait a second. That's exactly what Rav Asi just said. I mean, this is not a Lema Misayele. Lema Misayele means, I'm going to quote to you a Braisa, we'll analyze the Braisa with, you know, with the Talmudic dialectic analysis, and we'll come up with a proof for somebody. This is about as explicit as you can get. It says here that in Isa Shomasa Sheni Ptur Min Achal, Divrei Rabbi Meir, V'chachom Omrim Chayeves B'chal, because Rabbi Meir holds Momen Gavah, and Maaser Sheni is not yours, and Rabbi Chachom say it is yours. Lema Misayele, quote mark. You call that Lema Misayele? He. What does he mean? That's it. That is exactly what, you know, you just, you know, instead of Rav Asi saying it, the Braisa said it. So don't call that a proof for Rav Asi. You know, the word Lema here is totally out of place. Ella says to Gemara, we're going to analyze this Braisa and come up with a support for Rav Asi, because the Braisa is addressing what case, what mitzvah. I'll read it again. Isa shomas sheni p'tura minha chala. So we're talking about the mitzvah of chala. Does the Braisa say anything about the mitzvah of matzah? Does the Braisa address the mitzvah of esrog? Oh, that's where the Lema Misayele. Ella, the Gemara says, Mi de beha pligi, since they're arguing in the case of challah, beha in this case of challah. The Braisa records the machlok stream Rabbi Meir Chachamim, beha nami pligi. We're going to deduce Rav Asi's conclusion that beha in this case also they're going to disagree, which means in the case of esrog or matzah. Oh, Dilma says, Gemara, let's be argumentative about this. This is only a lema misayela. Lema means perhaps this could be a right. Dilma, perhaps. Shiny Isa. Interesting. Of the three cases that we had, all of which, according to Rav Asi, are excluded in the case of Maaser Sheni the Rabbi Meir because of the absence of Lochem, which of these three cases, I'll give you A, B, and C, and see if you can guess the answer, clearly requires Lochem, undeniably would require Lochem? Correct, Chal. And why? Because the Gemara says that in two places in the Torah, not once, but twice, the Torah formulates the requirement of ownership of a Didmah. And that's only in Chal. In the case of Esrog, it only applies once, Lekach and Lachem. In the case of matzah, we don't find it at all in the Torah. It's just gzeirah shava. But nevertheless, in the case of challah, twice the Torah repeats the requirement of ownership. And why is that state? The Amar Kra, just give me 1 second, Jerry. Ariso sechem trei zimni. Twice in the Torah says that it's got to be ariso sechem. That pasuk appears twice, Jerry.
We can't make the connection. I think I raised it a lot earlier.
Oh, so now the question is, why does the Gemara say that challah certainly requires ownership? Because the Torah twice repeats the requirement of ownership by risoseichem. We have a gzeirah shava, lechem lechem, that equates matzah to challah. So for all intents and purposes, whatever conclusion you come to in the case of challah, you're going to come by ipso facto, the same conclusion applies to the case of matzah. So what is Gemara here? The Gemara is saying, wait a minute, maybe challah requires lachem and ma'aseh sheni mabgavah according to Rabbi, it's not yours, and therefore you're part of a challah, but maybe matzah is different. What do you mean maybe matzah is different? How can matzah be different if you haven't said the show? So I suspect that maybe the Gemara is implying here that not everyone has the gzeirah shav. You remember we discussed this at great length, that gzeirah shav is something that has to be handed down through tradition, and the transmission has to go all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, and not everyone had the same tradition. Everybody agreed that there's a certain number, a magic number of how many gzeirah shavos there are, but what the specific gzeirah shavos that fulfill that minyan, like the tarik mitzvahs, which specific mitzvahs, that's going to be a matter of controversy. So it's not crystal clear from the Torah that matzah requires lachem, and ownership is a precondition. You can only derive from gzeirah shavos. Okay, that's not explicit in the Torah. That's something that you could always debate. But in the case of challah, the Torah clearly spells out the requirement of lachem, not once, but twice. Okay, so this is what we have here. Now take a look at Rashi. He on the top line. Rashi says, "Vadai misayele." There's no question that this is a support for Rav Asi, because my lema. Well, why do you say maybe? Maybe this is support for. Like, can we suggest the following support? It's absolutely explicit. And now we're going to read the Rashi. Let's skip one Rashi down to Odilma Shiny Isa. This is the case where a mayor says you're potur, in the case of challah. Not only does it require lachem once, but yisera meaning an extra surplus time, the Torah says. If it only says it once, like in the case of Esrog, where it says lachem once, lo nafkalon, we would not derive the conclusion that you must have ownership. Why not? The cave on the mishterei lachila, we would have thought in the case of Esrog, since you're allowed to eat it, even according to Rabbi Meir, you're allowed to eat my sasheni in Yerushalayim. Afal gav de lespe din mamon, lachem karinen be. Wow. Let's translate the words of Rashi and then think about this Rashi. Rashi is saying that I need this brisa, but the brisa doesn't fulfill my needs. Meaning, on the one hand, the brisa takes me halfway, but it doesn't take me all around the bases. Why? Because one could argue that the word lachem, which appears in matzah only once, I'm sorry, which appears in Esrog only once, does not mean that you have to own it. There's another possible interpretation of the word lachem in the case of an Esrog. And what's that? Maybe that's what lachem is. I don't have to add another requirement of lachem of ownership as long as I fulfill the requirement of lachem because of yesh lo het achilah. So in the case of my sesheni v'yushalayim, even Rav Meir would say that since it's lachem as far as het achilah is concerned, therefore you can fulfill the mitzvah of Esrog. What I don't know is if there's an additional implication in the word lachem that generates a second condition of yesh bo din mamon, that I don't know. And not only that, the Bryce doesn't even address that question because the Bryce is not talking about Esrog, the Bryce is talking about Chala. So in the case of Chala, the Torah clearly indicates Lachem, Lachem. So Chala would mean that Yeshlo Din Heter Achimah. Number two, Chala would require Din Mamon because of the word Lachem twice. But in the case of Esrog, says Rashi, where the Torah only formulates Lachem once, I can fulfill Lachem, through a hetrachiu, by interpreting the word lachem, meaning that it has to be edible for you, meaning the Torah permits you to eat it. But the Torah never had a second lachem to include a second requirement of yesh lo didmo. So basically, Rashi is revealing the secret here of Rav Asi. What's Rav Asi's big revolution here? And that is that you can derive two conclusions from one word lachem. That the word lachem should be maximized in its interpretation to include lachem, number one, because you can eat it, and number two, lachem, because it's yours. And that was Rav Asi's chiddush. If not for Rav Asi, if I only had the paradigm of challah, I would have said I need two lachems. I need one lachem to establish the requirement of het achila. I need a second lachem to establish a requirement of din mamon. But in the case of Esther, I only have one lachem. I don't have the luxury of adding a din mamon. And Rashi is operating with two premises here. Rashi is operating, number one, with the premise that the simple, straightforward understanding of the word lachem is het achila. Where does Rashi get that from? And number two, the second premise of Rashi is that if you only have one word lachem, you don't have the right to break new ground and be machadish and say, well, I have another requirement under lachem, namely a din mamon, to exclude Maisa Sheni according to Rabbi Meir. That you don't have. You only have that in what case? What's the paradigm in case we have two lachems? Challah. And in the case of challah, we're going to derive one requirement from one lachem, and that's yesh lo heter achila. The second lachem is going to teach me that you have a requirement of din mama. The first requirement, for example, will tell you that in arla you're not chayav in challah, because there's no challah in arla, because it's not arisal seichem. And then, in the case of challah shel ma'aseh sheni v'yishalayim, according to Rabbi Meir, we have a second lachem, arisal seichem, that's going to teach me yesh lo din mamon. But how do I know that in the case of Esther, when there's only what? How many times does the Torah say lachem and Esther? Only once. How do I know that I can generate two requirements, not only the requirement of yesh lo heter achila, but a second requirement of yesh lo din mamon from one word lachem? That's Rav Ashi's major breakthrough, and the Braisa gives him absolutely no support. And that's why the Gemara says, Lema Misayele, shall we say so? Shall we assume that just like in Challah, there's a precondition of Yesh Lo Din Mamon to exclude Maisa Sheni according to Rabbi Meir, so too in Esrog, there's a requirement of Din Mamon that would exclude Maisa Sheni in the case of Esrog according to Rabbi Meir? Or can I argue, hey, my friend, with all due respect, don't derive any conclusions from challah to esra. Because in challah we have two lachems, two arisal seichems, whereas in esra we only have one lachem.
Isn't there a general principle that you don't derive two things from one word?
And that's
else.
I think exactly what Rashi's saying over here. How can you derive that Rav Asi's saying some sort of revolution? This is the exception to the rule. That from one word lachem you're going to derive two things. But I think what's going on here, and that I think would answer your question, Jerry, is you're right. When you're deriving two different halachas from one pasuk, that's a problem. But when you're analyzing the pasuk and trying to figure out what the pasuk means, then you could maximize the meaning of that pasuk. So the Torah says lachem. Well, what does lachem mean? Does lachem mean I can eat it? Does lachem mean I own it? Now, Rav Asi insists that I can maximize lachem. And I can say that the Torah goes out of its way to say that the esrog has to be lachem, to tell you that's got to be lachem in the full-blown meaning of lachem. Whatever interpretations of lachem you can come up with, any candidates, let them in. We're going to vote for them. We're going to expand that definition of lachem. And that's the revolutionary chiddush of Rav Asi. Again, Rav Chiya, as I mentioned at the beginning of the shiur, he only has one interpretation of the word lachem, yesh lo heter achila. Rav Chiya would hold that according to Rabbi Meir and Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim, you can be yotzei in the midst of esrog, even though despite the fact that Maaseh Sheni is mamon gavah according to Rabbi Meir, but there's no requirement of din mamon, because the word lachem according to Rav Chiya means yesh lo heter achila. Rav Asi says lachem has to be expanded to include not only the requirement of yesh lo heter achila, but also the requirement of yesh lo din mamon. And therefore, Rabbi Meir, in the case of Maaseh Sheni Mamon Gavah, will not allow you to fulfill your mitzvah of esrog with a Maaseh Sheni in Yerushalayim. However, the Gemara says, Lema Misayele. I don't know if there's a real clear-cut proof. Nothing's explicit or conclusive from this price, because the price is talking about a case of challah, where the Torah goes out of its way twice to say esrog. Okay, Rabbi Yosef? So if you can make a note of where it is, tomorrow's our last meeting before Beis Cheshvan, the second of Cheshvan.
Bezrat Hashem, when we have the Korban Pesach.
Man, you're focused on Korban Pesach. I hope you voted for Masechta Pesachim. Although, we're going to learn the first one.
I made a compromise. I want Masechta Pesachim to deal with Korban Pesach. I'm not going to get what I want. That's okay.
I'm sorry if it was a little. I don't know if it was a little too fast because
I usually prepare.
So I apologize. The culmination of three different meetings.
You want to have a chavruta in Cheshvan after Shiva?
Yeah.
Talk it over.
Check it out. Anyway, the question is, Korban Pesach, is that what you need to finish by Chatzot, the Korban Pesach?
Finish eating it by Chatzot, that's according to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah.
Okay, but so today, we're supposed to finish the Afikomen before Chatzot, which is analogous to the Korban Pesach.
Tosa says, the Ran disagrees, but Tosa says we should be machmir for Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah.
No, but
eat the Afikomen before Chatzot.
So I realize my question sounded like it was in left field, that the matzah is analogous to the Korban Pesach, but maybe in that sense... Since the matzah right now is, we have to finish by Chatzot, and it's a zecher for the Korban Pesach.
The Afikomen, you said.
The Afikomen.
I mean, they're different sheetahs and shoulder, but yeah, the Afikomen.
So the question, the matzah has more than one meaning, or more than one use on Leil HaSeder. So one is the mitzvah of achilat matzah, and in other words, it's like analogous to the Korban Pesach.
Yeah, to replace the Korban Pesach.
Right. So since that element of it, which is Korban Pesach, that is minui, and that's ownership before Pesach.
But I never heard that in Afikomen you need minui. You know, that would be a radical thing. That's why I say you have to open up your own enterprise.
No, but is the Afikomen not a zecher for the Korban Pesach? Has to be
right, but we're not going to require all the different requirements. For example, we're going to eat the Afikomen in Denver, Colorado, right? You know, the Pesach you can't eat in Denver, Colorado. So, with all due respect, so there are, there are similarities between the, but we can't take it too far, to say that we have to have minui and a chabura on matzah for the afikomen. That would be a wild conclusion. Again, I think you might want to start a movement in that effect, but we already have so many movements in Judaism. Why not have another one?
The kids have to give it back to you first, otherwise you're stuck.
That's right. Yeah, but a young child, you mean? He's less than bar mitzvah. You're gonna have to give him a tonal manas lahatzah on the afikomen. And here he stole the afikomen. And now, you're really in trouble. Wow. If he's less than bar mitzvah, he can't give it back to you. So that far, we don't want to go. Okay, Rabbi Hosai?
Well, thank you.
Yeah.